Hello, this is Tony Alamo, your pastor, and if I'm not, I want to be. We need to know the definition of the Holy Spirit. We also have to know the definition of the flesh, because the Bible tells us that we have to crucify the flesh. And that means that that is our objective, to crucify it. And how can we know what to crucify if we don't know what the flesh is? And if we don't know how to crucify it. So I'm doing a series here, and however much I get, I'm going to give. All right? So this is the fourth in the series of the definition of the flesh. So we might as well, Father God, we ask that you anoint this, and that you open up everyone's mind, their spirit, because the way and that you anoint this with your spirit, because we know that the way that our flesh is crucified is by your spirit, living in our minds and in our spirit. So, Lord, we ask that you anoint this into us and let your spirit work its way into us so that we can be powerful, more powerful than we were yesterday. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's go.
Here is the fourth in the series of the message on the flesh, the experiencing of knowing that your flesh is crucified with Christ.
See, so we have to experience that. What is it all about anyway? It's about an experience. We only live once in this world, and we need to know what we're experiencing. Amen?
Amen.
Because a lot of people are thinking that they're experiencing the Holy Spirit, and it's actually the rank imitation. It's the devil. And so a lot of people think they're Christians and they're walking in their flesh, and they have never thought about crucifying it. And if they thought about it, they don't know how to do it. And so this is teaching you how to crucify your flesh, because it's a commandment from the Lord. It's impossible to get into the kingdom of heaven without being in the Spirit. And the flesh is crucified by the Holy Spirit. Okay, now let's go ahead.
Seeing is believing. So we have to see that our flesh has been crucified with Christ. So when we have really seen the difficulty of the flesh in the light of God's Word, and we realize that there is absolutely...
Well, what do I mean by that? The light of God's Word. We see what the difficulty is because we've seen fleshy people like King Saul, like Cain. So there's a difficulty there, amen? And the Bible in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans tells us that even people that in their... Even when they're unsaved, they want to do good, but they can't because of the sin that dwells in their flesh. And so the Lord says that we have to walk after the Spirit so that we can destroy the sin, the flesh, the works of the flesh, the lust that's in our flesh, the sin that's in our flesh. And he tells us that how to do it, and this series is going to tell you that. Okay, then what else?
So when we have really seen the difficulty of the flesh in the light of God's Word, and we realize that there is absolutely no way for us to deal with our flesh by our own selves, we are totally in despair. Some people are, in ourselves. Some people cannot stop from lying.
Right, they can't stop from lying. They can't stop from lusting after Eve. They just figure every time they see a man that they just start daydreaming about something, you know, having relationships with them. Or some people just lust after women. There's a lust of the flesh. And then they dream of being somebody in the entertainment industry or somebody instead of... meditating on the Lord. Okay, I left the entertainment industry 40 years ago, and I haven't regretted it more than 40 years ago. And some people that are in the church they say, I want to be you to promote me. Well, I'm not going to promote you. I promote Jesus. Amen? Mm-hmm. Okay, then go ahead.
Some people insist on being full of lethargy. This is not Christ. This is the flesh.
Yeah, if you're lazy, that's the flesh. If you make up excuses, that's the flesh. If you're a liar, that's the flesh. Some people can't stop from lying because they don't have their tongue under. No man can tame the tongue, but the Spirit can. Amen?
Yeah.
And the tongue has caused many people to wipe themselves out. There's people today that went to a hospital in New York. Their dad was in there, and this man has always had a problem with not being able to be diplomatic. He just gets too upset. Little Norman Caffin used to upset him to no end, and here he's a great big strong guy, and instead of just going into the hospital and smiling and acting nice, one of his brothers went in there and signed a statement that they should not feed the dad anymore, that they should pull all the plugs on him and let him die. Well, I told him, you know, just get him in a wheelchair or something and wheel him out of there. And don't, you know, just smile and use somebody to distract him or something. Ask him where the bathroom is or something and then just scoot him out of there. But the brother, the younger brother, signed a complaint about this young man, about this their dad, that he should die. And so they were going to starve him to death. And they're still going to do that. And so I'm contacting our attorneys in New York, Lieberman and Kuby, to see if we can get a writ of habeas corpus to get them out, to get him out of that hospital. Because the hospitals today have become Nazi murdering camps. Ever since the Ivy Farben Company has moved and dispatch after World War II, they dispatch into all countries. They're in here, and they're the ones that make a lot of the different things that you... They're the ones that made the poisonous gas that killed the Jews and many other people, and they now make things, I'm told, Bayer's aspirin, Alka-Seltzer, and all kinds of different medicine that people are taking today. This company is definitely a bunch of devils run it. The Pope was with them and helped mix the gas, and actually was one of the war criminals that fled to Argentina. Well, anyway, at this hospital, this doctrine, World War II is just a rehearsal for what's going on today. They were taking people, Jewish people, killing them, and making lampshades out of their skin, and making soap out of their bones and the fat in their bodies. And these are a bunch of gulag. These German Nazi people are the biggest bunch of ghouls that ever lived. They're demon-possessed people. And, of course, the Muslim religion is just a branch of the Vatican. But now this has gotten into our school system. You'll see in the public schools nuns and priests that are teaching the children in our public schools, and we're paying the taxes for that. The government is never to take prefer one religion over the other. And we're supposed to be able to worship the Lord our God with the dictates of our heart. Well, we know that we've had an experience with the Lord, but they're saying, no, we have to also pay homage to Buddha, you know, to Islam, and all these other different false religions. And the Lord forbids that we go to hell if we did. And so now they've come into, they've instituted in a very strong way abortion. And now they're sick and tired of paying Social Security. They just moved the age. It used to be 65 years old when you get Social Security. Now they've moved it up to 67 because people are living longer now, and they just hate it that they have to pay out, because the 65-year-old people go into retirement, 67-year-old people, and they consider them worthless humanity. So when they go into hospitals, they actually hot pop them and make them go out into eternity because they don't want to pay old age benefits and things like that for them. And so this man is 85 years old. He's in the hospital. But he said he wants to live. He wants to go home with the brother that is in our church here. But this brother, I don't know exactly what, but I've seen him be a very, very, he gets unglued, to put it in as nice a way as I can. He's got to learn to more walk by the Spirit. Like, for instance, they wanted to keep me in the hospital when I had a hernia operation around 25 years ago. And I just got off the operating table, and I asked them, when am I going to get to operate? They said, you're already operating. I couldn't feel anything, so I put my clothes on and left. They didn't want me to, but hospitals are not supposed to be prisons. Amen? And they're not supposed to have the authority to kill you if somebody, a member of your family, comes in and signs a paper that you they want you to die, and they don't want you to feed them anymore. And I saw them do that to a mongoloid baby at UCLA, and people were calling up and wanting to save the life of the baby. No, because somebody signed a statement that they got to kill it. So we're living in this is not a dress rehearsal anymore like World War II. This is the Nazi Catholic satanic regime that is running this government now, this secular government, and they're out to kill old people. And not only old people, people that, like if you're 20 years old or 19, if you're paralyzed and you're not any help to society, they just figure you're to be killed. And they go in and hot pop you. Hospitals are one of the most dangerous places to be today. And some people just love to throw themselves into hospitals, and they don't know what they're doing. And what was the name of that hospital that this man is in? Remember? It's out there in New Jersey or New York. But we've got to get a hold of Ron Kuby or Eric Lieberman tomorrow and see. It's called what?
Brookhaven.
Brookhaven what?
Hospital.
No, it's some kind of religious hospital. Brookhaven Memorial Catholic Hospital or something to that
effect. From what I could tell earlier when I looked it up, it said it was Jewish.
The Jews, the unsaved Jews, and the Catholics have joined together. You can see the Archdiocese in New York and Los Angeles. You also see the Jewish organizations right in there with them. What's the name of those organizations?
Jewish Federation.
The Jewish Federation is right in with the Archdiocese, the Catholics. So they're one in the same now, because the Jews see how powerful that the Antichrist Catholics are, and so they join up with them. There's a lot of bad Jews, just like there was in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well, that actually caused the children of Israel to go astray. A lot of the kings, most of the kings were evil in God's sight. And just because they're Jewish, and the Jewish religion is a false religion anyway, because they reject Christ. Anyone that rejects Christ is a false religion. Anyone that wants you to merge in with these devils, the false religions, I mean, are false. They're not real. So anyway, my point is if this brother was walking really as strong as he needs to be in the Spirit, he could have got out of there with his dad tonight. I told him to pull the IVs out of his arm and to just take the the bag with the catheter out and just do like I did, just dress him up and take him out the door. But he was a little too flamboyant with it, and here all kinds of guards came up and so on and so forth. And but, you know, it's all over, but I'm going to do my best. But this brother's a good brother. He just needs to mature. He needs to just put his flesh under more. More and more and more and more, just like us all. We have to stay under the Spirit every day. And if you were under the Spirit during the day, but you go to the hospital at night and here's a life and death situation, and you get out of the Spirit and you're not as cunning as the Spirit is, well, then you can cause your own dad to get killed. Whereas if you were in the Spirit, you would have buried, the Lord possibly would have led you to get him out there out of the side door or something. Amen? I'm just saying that. That's the reason I said all these things. Okay, now let's keep going.
The tongue must be under control so that you don't lie. Quote, lie not one to another.
And that you don't speak out when you're supposed to be silent, because if you're silent, you can just maybe go walk through the crowd like Jesus did. Amen? When they were trying to stone him to death. Then what?
You're supposed to work here on this side of eternity in the house of God and to help the house of God.
Yeah, and you're supposed to work, let the Holy Spirit work through you in the world. There's no point of just going to church every night just to entertain each other, but you're to be out in the streets or somewhere, wherever the Lord leads you, to bring souls into the church. Because if we sow good seed, seed always brings back some kind of fruit. You know, whenever you plant seed, it's going to bring back a harvest. And so if you're not sowing seed, well, then you're just full of lethargy and you're useless to the Lord. And some people say, well, we've been out here a month, you know, oh, God, we got to come. Jesus was out there 3.5 years, and I've been out there longer than that. Amen? I mean, I've been out going to 40 years, going on 41 years, and I'm not tired of sowing seed. I'm sowing seed right this minute. Amen? Yeah. And I'm sending these out into the world. I'm legally blind, and yet I write and probably preach more than all the other preachers that I know. Like, I've done 435-40 tapes in the last 435 days, haven't I? Amen. And so if most pastors do one a week, so that's 52 a year. This is 400 in about 52. Well, that's like 8 or 9 years of tapes that I've done in just a little over a year. That's like 8 or 9 years of, and I've done many other tapes too along with this. Amen?
Amen.
And not only that, these are the ones that we've sent out. I've recorded way more than that. That I'm way ahead of you people. I'm clear in the book of 2 Kings already. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm probably over 500-600 tapes. Just on the Bible. I've done literally thousands of tapes, okay? And that's just the Lord leading me to do that. And I've done all kinds of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tracts, okay? And messages that I do, talk on the phone all the time, bringing messages.
Yeah.
Probably hundreds of thousands of messages, all right? Okay, but that's the Spirit doing it, and so I don't feel, overly burdened. It's just the Lord's work is easy and light, and he just maybe uses me as an example. Here's a guy that's blind, 70 years old, and he's just really cranking. What are you doing? Oh, you know, growing roots into your chair or your sofa, your couch potato? Well, you better get out. It ain't no funny thing. You better get out and start winning souls, sowing some seed, friend. Okay, or you're going to stand judgment one of these days whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, you're going to be really surprised, you know, when the Lord pulls you right up to his face and he gets in your face. And what are you going to do about it? Smack him one or something? You will not do that, I guarantee it. Then what?
You're not to lust after females in the church, like some of the baby Christians are not told these things when they just move in.
Well, and the women are not to lust after guys. It's disgusting, you know. I don't know why they come into a church to do that. They should, because it's the devil wanting to throw souls. They get tired of going out with those booze hounds in the singles bars and those phonies that say, you know, that they invented so-and-so thing or something like that, telling the story. And they want to hear a story. They know the guys are trying to come on. That's what they're there for, too. Okay, then what? But they don't like it because I'm so stinking hip. And I understand that, you know, they just don't like me. Well, the feelings are mutual. Okay, what else?
They're leering or ogling different sisters, and some of the sisters are on the hunt for men when they come in.
Yeah, if they could, they'd use a bow. Or a net. Okay, what else?
The house of God is not a singles bar, nor is it the Hollywood Palladium. If this is what you want, you have to leave the church. If you do this and you say, well, I don't want to leave the church, the Lord has instructed me not to let you be here if you do these things. So you're going to have to deal with your flesh.
If you want to stay, right. Then what?
And as soon as you do, and you give your entire life to the Lord, your heart, your soul, your spirit, then I'm sure God will make a move for you. Another thing, too, is that some people just have desires to do what they want to do. We just recently had people move into the church that wanted to read these Harry Potter books, and we told them, no, you can't do that. And they said, well, I think we're intelligent enough to know what we can read and what we can't read, and we still want to read it. Well, of course you are. You're intelligent enough to do that, but you're not intelligent enough to place yourself under the power of the Holy Spirit. So you should leave.
No, you must leave. I put them out. You're not intelligent enough to stay in this church. Okay, then what?
And if you don't want to leave, well, we just have to cause you to leave, because the Lord makes me do that.
What else?
There are others that don't pay any attention to health, and they think that they're smart by eating whatever they want to. But the Holy Spirit tells you, blessed is the person who eats not for taste, but for health. Ecclesiastes 10:17. These people don't care if they catch some disease or contagious thing, and they're in the house of God and infect everyone else. And there's a lot of people that can't keep their mind on the Lord. They're just into fun and games. But the Holy Spirit will then give a person a revelation concerning the deliverance that the cross gives us, as mentioned in the 6th chapter of Romans, 6 verse 6.
Yeah, now people that, you know, think, well, you know, when I was in prison for 4 years and a half, and for ever since I was 20 years old, 19 years old, clear up till I was around 40 to 50 years old, 50 years old, I lived on health foods. But I see the young people in this church, they don't do that, and they're sick and weak, and I'm still very strong at age 70. I'm stronger than they are. Okay, and anyone wants to take me up on it, we can go in the gym. Okay, and I've proven that many times. So they saw me, you know, come out of prison, and I've taken some, I've pigged out on a few things, but I figure that I'm so healthy that I could do that once in a while. But I'm on a very strict diet now. I'm on, I fast at least 12 hours every day, which, and I don't eat any dairy or beef. And I stay away from I pretty well stay on a very strict diet. Okay, then what?
Quote Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Our old man, if you're really in Christ, was, it's a done deal, was crucified with him, Christ, that the body of sin might be done away, so we must no longer be in bondage to sin. If you're still in bondage to sin, then what's the point of being in this church or saying that you're a Christian, unless it's to sin? And if you get...
If it's to sin. If you're in this church to sin. Okay, then what?
And if you get into a fight or you don't like the way someone combs their hair or the way they are, then you should reckon yourself to be dead. Dead people don't argue. They just go along with whatever is going on, unless it's sinful. Then, of course, the life that's in you will come against the sin. The Spirit will show us that this old man of the flesh has been crucified. The Holy Spirit will show us that crucified with Christ, and that our body of sin, this flesh, has already been done away with and has lost its function. We can't do, and we don't want to do, the things that we did when we were just footloose and fancy free. Then why should we still be under the bondage of the body, the flesh? In the sixth chapter of Romans, it is mentioned again and again that we have died to sin, that we have been released from the power of sin, the law of sin and death, and that sin can no longer have power and dominion over us. Hence, we have already been delivered from sin. It's a done deal. Once we come to the reality of the light of God's Word, first you have to desire to want to, and you receive this fact through faith. This Word becomes the declaration of our emancipation, our deliverance, and the song of our triumph. We can then reckon ourselves as dead to sin. In other words, dead to our flesh. Our flesh can't make us do any satanic things, as lie or lust or any kind of sin, but is alive to God in Christ Jesus. To me, this is the glorious power of God.
Right, that we are more than conquerors over our flesh and everything else in Christ. It's the glory of God. So this is the fourth in the series of the flesh, and until chapter 5, or the fifth in the series of the flesh, this will keep getting, this series will keep getting more and more powerful as you go along, okay? And you'll be getting stronger and stronger if you're really of the Lord. As you hear more and more of this. This is Tony Alamo, your pastor, and until the fifth in the series of your flesh, God bless you and praise the Lord.